All right, good morning, everyone. Woo, it's a little too hot. So, welcome. We're going to talk about today Jesus as our healer and something that will be kind of different and hopefully that we'll encounter a new way. In fact, one of the things we're going to try to do this morning is during the offertory, if there's a particular prayer request, something we can pray for you, either in healing or some other things that you would like, go ahead and write that down and drop it in the basket as we pass the basket around. So, and we'll try to get those accumulated and incorporated, and we'll pray those in our monthly prayer meeting. So you can think about what is it that I want the Lord to do for me. So, and that's when we talk about today, Jesus as our healer. I hope that my prayer is that each one of you encounter Jesus as your healer, maybe in a new way today. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for, Lord Jesus, you're our healer, and you have healed so many people of so many things throughout all the centuries, and you're still doing that even today in our midst, and in with these people here, with people around the world, and all over the place, Lord, you're still working. And we just ask that we could encounter that today as we lift up our voices to you and worship you for what you have done, what you're doing now, and what you're going to do in our lives and in others' lives. We worship you and you alone. In your name we pray. Amen.
To Glen Arbor Community Church. I wanted to cover a few announcements for you today. First one, we do have a... in the bulletin, if you look, all of our Awana and high school events are listed for the month of October, which, can you believe, started yesterday, October 1st. And you can kind of tell it's cooler out. We do have a slight mistake. This Wednesday is not color theme night, and so it is a normal, I think, two weeks or a week from Wednesday is Parents' Night. But there is no theme this Wednesday, so I just wanted to get that corrected. A few other things to highlight for you is we host a regional conference for churches in our Plains region. Five churches participate in what we call Great Commission Leadership Institute, and that is coming up in November, just about a month away, November 11th through the 12th, here at the Glen Arbor. So keep that weekend open if you're available, and our annual Faith Walkers Conference. They have changed the dates on that to be kind of span over a weekend, and the dates are in your bulletin there. So I wanted to highlight some of those. We wanted to do something a little different today in cooperation with Greg is going to teach on Jesus as our healer today, and we take the offering every week, but yesterday we had our prayer meeting. We wanted to gather in some prayer requests. If there's something we could pray for you, maybe you could write it down for us and put it in the offering basket, and we will pray for it at our next prayer meeting. So I know that's kind of hitting you on the spot. If you don't want to put your name down, that's okay. If it's a general prayer, write it down and leave it in the offering basket. So you need to be doing that now, and we will pray for that. Pray for you or your family or a loved one. We would love to do that and serve you in that way. So with that, the ushers are going to come forward and take your offering or your prayer request. And Robin will play while we do that. Thank you.
I had this on the whole time. I think, wow, I must have been really loud when I was singing. But good, I didn't. Good morning. Welcome to Glen Arbor Community Church. I'm Greg Stanger, one of the pastors here. And we're continuing our series on encountering Jesus. And one of his many attributes is as healer. And as you're putting maybe your prayer requests in the basket, and if you think of one later, you can certainly give that to one of us, and we'll make sure that it gets in there. It's not like this is the only time to ask for prayer. This is, as we look at Jesus as a healer, we think about, yeah, he healed many people in the Old or the New Testament, and we think, well, you know, that was nice for them. A lot of people get healed. The blind saw, the lame walked, the lepers were healed. But that really has nothing to do with me. I'm none of those things. And that was New Testament times. That's not something that really I'm a part of. And the truth is, Jesus is real, and he is a part of our everyday lives. It's just that we haven't really maybe encountered him on this level before. We think of more, I serve him, or we pray to him for various things. We pray for healing. But on every area of our life, do we do that? So we're going to really kind of encounter maybe on a different way than you're familiar with this, or maybe you're not familiar with this. So let's pray and really ask the Lord to touch you maybe in an area that you're hurting in today and what he could possibly do for you. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your healing, how you've healed so many people of so many different things. And we've seen that in our own midst. We've seen that in our personal lives, maybe. We've seen that in other people's lives, or we've heard about it, Lord. But you're doing great things even now. And we ask that you'd help us and meet with you one-on-one, even this week, that we'd meet with you on this level in the areas that we're hurting, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so this is the series that I just talked about. We talked about Jesus as teacher and as a prophet and as a friend, as a priest, and we're starting it's October already, so we're starting it as a healer. So I think I'm going to change glasses so I can read my notes. That's a problem with having two sets of glasses. So we have our blank slate here. There are many parts of us as people. We're kind of complicated. What's the first thing you think about when you think about the human person? And you might think, well, or first of all, one thing I want to point out is everything that we're going to talk about affects the other. If you get nothing else, remember that one part of us affects the other. When we think about a human person, the first thing out of our mouth is what? Physical, right? Physical.
Yeah, physical.
You know, we're something. We're part of something. We're there. We're physical, like this, like the pews that you're sitting on, or we're matter and all those things. And that's a part of us. And when we think of healing, we think, yeah, typically that's what people think of, is we want to be healed from cancer or blindness or whatever it is. And we know that we're physical because there's many verses on that. The one that I'm referencing here, then the Lord formed the man of dust, which is physical, from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. We're physical. We're able to run races. We're able to compete in competition. We have ailments, all the things associated with being physical. Almost always, the next thing that a person thinks about when you think about what is a human being made up of is spiritual, and it's represented with orange here. And there are a couple verses that talk about that. There are many verses that talk about this aspect in the Bible. And in Psalm 135:14, it says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. That's David. So that's an idea that there's a spiritual element to this person. in 1 Corinthians 15 actually says it. Verse 44. It is sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Very clear verse that differentiates between these two aspects. So we're physical and spiritual. This is, you know, Bible. This is Sunday School 101, right? We're physical and spiritual. In fact, there are whole debates on whether these are the only two parts. And is there a mind, body, soul, and spirit? Is there four parts? Is there three parts? Is there two parts? For the our purposes, we're really talking about healing. And that we have many parts. Whether they're made up of all of these things, it's really not important. They can all be touched in some way. Then what's the next thing? Well, I'm going to call it the emotional part, which I've signified with the green circle here. Emotional, and that's the parts that gets angry, it gets hurt, it feels joy and feels sadness. A verse that talks about this is Ephesians, just one example that says, Ephesians 4:26, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Well, we can be angry, right? So there is an emotional part to us that may need healing. If you go to 1 Corinthians 13, it talks in length about the idea of love. You know, it talks about love. It personifies love. We feel envy, strife, jealousy, hatred, laughter. All of those things are a part of us. And maybe you don't feel those things all the time. You shouldn't feel them all the time. But you feel them at some point. They're a part of who you are. And they reflect what we believe about a situation. So that's our kind of the third part of this. The final part that I'm going to bring up is our eternal part. And now I regret making this yellow because you can barely see it. But the word eternal is there, up there. And this is the part that represents afterwards. That part of us that is eternal, that lives forever, that's either to heaven or hell. And the two verses that I selected talk about that. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life. So if there's an eternal life, then there is an eternal element to each one of us. And Matthew 25:46 says, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So both of those are eternal. So it's one or the other. But they both have an eternal element. Therefore, there must be an eternal element to us. Pretty simple. But you would say, well, what does that have to do with healing, Greg? Well, that element would need to be possibly healed too, right? So if we're physical, spiritual, emotional, eternal, all of those places might need healing. All of us we're intertwined. All of this, one thing affects the other. And look at that. Isn't that cool? So it's all of you. All of this is you. So some verses that talk about this, but I see a different law. This is Romans 7:23, in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. So one thing we know is they fight with each other, right? Do your heart and your head always agree? No. So you may feel one thing, but think another. I know the right thing to do, but then I don't do it. Here's another one. This is one of many verses in Proverbs. But the idea that our spiritual heart may affect our physical. A joyful heart is a good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And there's six or seven different verses that talk about this, where if we're sad or we're emotionally in turmoil or maybe we're spiritually in anguish, we feel it affects us physically. And some people, it causes stress. And physical stress actually can cause spiritual repression, or we'll feel emotionally sad. Or if we've been sick for a long time, the physical affects the spiritual and the physical affects the emotional. And all of these things, the eternal affects all of them. So, and I just want to point out, so this is not to say, oh, look, Greg has figured out the trichotomous versus dichotomous man. Look at that. The theology that we've been arguing about for 1,000 years is all figured out right on this little PowerPoint. And that's not the point of this. The point of this is to show that there really we have more, we're very complicated. We're more than four circles and a square. We are, there's elements that affect each other, and each area can be affected by Christ. Each area needs healing in some level, and that's what we're going to get into in each of those. And I'll show an example of that in Scripture. We're going to look at some examples. So here's some examples from Scripture of the four types of healing that we see. And by the way, I know I'm reading some of these verses very quickly, and in the back and in the other, both foyers, there's this, you'll get this as a notes you can take home, so you don't have to try to write down all these notes very quickly. And I'm not showing you these verses because there's a lot to go through. So let's look at some examples. In Mark 1, 40 through 45, it says, a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, and said to him, if you will, can you make me clean? Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. So those of you who don't know what leprosy is, it's a disease that can eventually cover your whole body. It really destroys the cells of your skin and get into the joints. It's a very horrible, horrible disease, which was common in this day. It's less common today, but it is still around. And I've actually read articles that say it's making a comeback in some countries. We, the elders, we have laid hands on people. In fact, I was talking to Earl about this morning. He said, we've laid hands on people for their healing physically. So I remember one person, they had tremendous back problem. They asked for the elders to come and lay hands on them, and in a couple days they were healed. Did we do that? No, that was Jesus. But that's an example of where Christ heals today. And there are many other examples I can give you, and many that I've heard about. Some people get healed and some don't. But I believe that he still heals, in my opinion. And I want to kind of take this separate from the idea of the gift of healing. We're not going to really talk about that. We're going to really talk about your relationship with Christ and Christ alone. So does Jesus still heal? Well, I have prayed and I have seen that he has done that in my life and in others. And I know that many of you have examples of that. And I'm still praying. And for some of you, I'm still praying for healing. So that's the physical part. And sometimes I'm praying for your spiritual healing and emotional healing, and some for eternal healing. So, what about spiritual healing, Greg? Oh, and I'm sorry, there was the verses on the leper. So here's the spiritual one. And this, what is the spiritual, what would you need healing in the spiritual area? Why would you kind of, and how is that different from physical and emotional? Well, I kind of see it as, it's where your soul is sick or in a bad spot, and it can result from physical or emotional issues. It can be from a very long, like for example, a very long sickness can feel like we get taken out of ministry or taken out of serving Christ. That would be an example of a spiritual healing that might be needed. And Proverbs talks about this in 15:13. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the heart is sad, emotion, the spirit is broken. Did you catch that? So it doesn't say the body is broken. It talks about the spirit as if it's a separate thing. So when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Well, what does that mean? Well, I would say it's an ineffective or ineffectual or broken or sick spirit, spiritual body. All right, what's he talking about? That's really weird. And I would say it manifests itself this way. We can't fellowship. We feel like being with fellowship, feeling with other believers is like painful. It hurts too much. We are lost spiritually. We can't seem to find our way with God. It's difficult to pray. We can't really pick up our Bible anymore. We just kind of, Right. I felt that way. We don't seek Him the way we used to. We don't feel that fire that we did in our youth, for those of you who are no longer youth. We feel separated even when we are not eternally separated. Example, this is in John 8. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman," this is about the woman who the Pharisees brought, this woman that was a harlot. She was accused. She was thrown before Jesus. "Jesus, what should we do with her? We should stone her according to the law." And he says to her, and I think this is an example of a spiritual healing, and he says, "Woman," and she feels accused. She's been in probably doing this for a while. She feels alone, condemned, and many different things. And he says, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." "I do not condemn you either." And that meant something. "I don't condemn you either." But he didn't just say, "Well, go off on your way. Keep going. Do whatever you're doing. That's okay." But then he clarifies that. And he says, "Go. From now on, sin no more." Which I think is the spiritual element. Saying, you're in a bad spot. You can't. I don't condemn you. But you need to leave this stuff. Right after he says, this is where he makes his "I am the light of the world" statement. Another example, this is the rich man. There was a rich man that came to him and said, "How do I get into heaven?" And he said, or how do I get into heaven? Well, obey the Ten Commandments. And he said, "I've done all that. I'm super cool." Well, sell everything you have and come follow me. Well, he wasn't willing to do that. That's an example of a spiritual challenge that didn't go well. Another example of that is the woman at the well, where he encounters her and say, "Yes, you have many husbands that you need to leave. Come and see him who told me everything about me." She was having a spiritual awakening. She was encountering the Messiah. I think another one is when Simon Peter, and I love this scene, and I've seen it in movies, and I thought one particular does it very well. This is John 5:8. And this is where Peter really kind of, Jesus has just, couldn't catch any fish, and suddenly they're catching all these fish, and Simon Peter saw that. He fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." You ever do that with the Lord? "Lord, you don't want to be around me. I'm a bad dude. I've got problems. I'm not worthy to be in your presence, or I'm just, you're not for me and I'm not for you." And he said, continues, "For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John and sons of Zebedee, who were partners with him. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men.' And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." I feel like that was a spiritual healing. It's like, yeah, you are. He didn't say, "Yeah, you are. Boy, you're a loser. You better get your act together." He said, "No, you're eventually," what does he say to him? "Eventually, you are my rock on which I will build my church." Spiritual healing happens, and I think that happens to us when we are redirected maybe in our ministry. Something really different and something new happens on that level. It might evolve, this next item, emotional healing, which a lot of us, where we deal with theophastic prayer ministry, or is now called therapeutic prayer ministry, those of you familiar with it. And I think that there's examples of that in the scripture. And this is in a little later in John 8:17. And I think this is with a lot of healing happens with Simon Peter. And this is another time. Now remember, Simon betrayed Jesus. He denied him three times. And I think this was going right after that, when Jesus has rose from the dead. And he comes back to him. He says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And this is the third time he's asked him. Three times. Three denials, three times. do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He's probably weeping and crying. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. You're going to be a martyr for me, Peter. This is where you're going to be. You denied me. Now I'm making you the leader. In the end, remember he said, follow me. It's all okay. You're still my rock on which I will build my church. In Psalm 34:18, it says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who crushed in spirit. Finally, there's the eternal part of this. And I want to look at this one. This is the thief. And he says to him, remember, there's a thief next to Jesus. And he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he says, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. He solves the thief's issue right there. And he tells him that. And your sin problem, his sin problem, our sin problem, is solved right at the cross. We sang about that today. The way of the cross leads home. Another bitter, horrible, difficult thing leads to salvation. And you... many have heard this verse before, but I'll say it anyway. But there's always the second part I want to read to as well. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And that is the really, really important part, that all of this is trying to support, all of this glory is trying to support in. And that's salvation in his blood to meet the eternal sickness. And once done, it is complete. And then there's healing in all these other areas. And that ultimate goal is to share the gospel with others, and that the forgiveness of sin is preached to others so that it might be received and everyone can receive it and be healed in that area as well. In Mark 2:17 it says, and hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. We're sinners. We're glad that he called us. So, what's next? How do we get in on this? You've given us examples. You've shown us how we're all these different parts. What does that mean? Well, how do I receive this healing? Okay, here's the kicker. So, from these various ways, our Lord can heal, but what specifics can we draw personally? And this is the part I want you to really, what's the application? You know, maybe I'm not sick, I've got it all together, but, you know, if you think about someone else, you know, if you feel like you have it all together, you don't need this, then, well, just take notes just for maybe your friend that's sick in these ways. But I'm going to discuss each of these steps in the physical, spiritual, emotional, and eternal steps. So we're going to go through each step, and I would recommend you can keep these to heart. They're pretty simple, but I think they're necessary. So the first thing, so if you want healing from Jesus, what's probably the first thing you would need to do? You might go to Jesus, right? Ask him, pray, you go to Jesus. And what's an example of that? Well, the multitudes came to Jesus, and he healed them. In Matthew 9:36, seeing the people, he felt compassion on them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. He feels compassion for you. This is something that he wants to do. But you got to go to him. A lot of times we want to do stuff ourselves. You know, we've got the answer. We like to be independent. If you want to look at the poster child of being independent, so you're looking at him. The resourceful one, the one that's got it all figured out, and boy, has he beaten me on that one. I've realized I cannot do it myself. So, in the physical area, how would you go to Jesus? Well, someone mentioned it, you go to him in prayer. You might ask others to pray for you, And we've done that today where we gave a prayer request. You can even ask someone to just pray for you. You can ask the elders to come and lay hands on you. We'll come, you know, and lay hands on you. That's another thing that's mentioned, and we'll pray for you. It's very, very simple. I want to receive, and you might ask, I want to receive my sight. I want to be healed. I want this cancer to be gone. I want this sickness to go from me, whatever it is. That's what you can ask for. That's how you go to Jesus. The spiritual, you might bring your issue to him. Lord, I'm ineffective in ministry. I bring my ministry to you. I'm not where I want to be. I've not followed you as I should. In fact, I've turned my back on you multiple times over the course of a decade or two decades, and I want to return. That's what I want. I'm coming to you for that. Emotionally, I want to be fixed of this feeling I continually have. I'm afraid all the time, and I can't ever get rid of it. I'm afraid, and I don't know why. Or I'm always angry at everybody and everything that I want to crush the life out of them. I'm hurt by someone, by something someone did, and I can't stop being. Maybe it's eternal. You have a sin problem. That one, he's already provided the solution. And it's affecting you, but your sin problem is affecting you eternally. Lord, what must I do to receive eternal life? How can I do that? Like the thief or the woman at the well, what must I do to get this water that gives me eternal life? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. What must I do to be saved? What is this eternal water? That if you don't have that today, you can ask him, Lord Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is, receive me into your heart. Receive me into your heart, knowing that you cannot solve your eternal problem. You cannot solve any of these problems, really, by yourself. So that's the first one. Go to Jesus. That's pretty simple. Second one is know what you want. Now they say, well, gosh, that's pretty easy. I know what I want. Yeah, I've got it together. That may or may not be true. In John 18, to the blind man said, what do you want me to do for you? And he knew pretty well, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And physically, you might say, Lord, this stress is killing me. The stress in my life is physically killing me. This cancer, remove it from me. I'm struggling to walk because of my back problems. I want to be able to stand straight. I want to stop the wooziness. I want to stop the coughing, whatever it is. Make that clear. And when it's physical, it's usually pretty easy. When it's spiritual, then it gets a little more tougher. But you might say, I want to be your disciple. Lord, I want to follow you with all my heart. I want to be strong in the gospel. I want to be useful to you. I want to be effective for you. I want to be free of this oppressive sin that binds me. You got to tell them what you want. If it's emotional, I want to stop yelling at the kids. I want to stop being afraid to get in my car. I want to stop hating those I love. I want to stop being angry. I want to be able to forgive. You got to tell them. And maybe you don't know what you want. And I think that's most likely the case. Then that's when you sit down with a friend or a counselor or someone or one of us and say, I don't know what I want, but I feel this. We can help you with that. I want to know if it's eternal. I want to know my eternal destiny. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know I have eternal life. I want to know you are real. Those are good questions to ask. That's what I want to know. I want to know that you're real. Show me that you're real. And if you're here today and you go, I want to know that you're real, Lord Jesus, you can ask him. And believe me, he will show you. And I've seen it over and over again. Be prepared, because he will show you. Isaiah 53:3 says, he was despised. Like, and go to him. The reason I'm sharing this verse is that a lot of times we think, well, Jesus is high and mighty. He's too far away. God's too far away. He doesn't really interested in my little problems. He doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't know what sorrow is. And Isaiah 53:3 says about him, he says, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted. And another version says, well acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and did not esteem them. He's been alone. He's felt pain. He's felt sorrow. He knows what you're going through. He's been there. You can definitely tell him about it. So go to Jesus, but know what you want. What's the next thing? This is the really hard one. Be ready to be exposed. Oh, wait, what? That's not what healing's supposed to be about. Yes, it is. And I'll give you some examples. One verse that came to mind that I like going to is, this is David says in Psalm 51:6, both, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. And most of our pain could be attributed to something we've done to ourselves. And I think you might even know what that is for you. But we don't want to give that up. We have sin areas, things we don't want exposed. Well, Lord, could you just heal this and let me keep doing my own thing? Well, maybe that old thing is what's causing your issue. So in the physical, I want to be free of the nightmares, but I'm not willing to stop the drugs. I want to stop the migraines. I know it's related to a certain food that I eat, but I'm not going to stop that. Just get rid of the migraines and let me keep doing that. Let me keep doing my thing. In the spiritual, I want to be your disciple, but let me have this little area to myself. He will expose that for you. You can have everything but this. In the emotional, I want to stop being angry, but I'm not willing to lose control. I want to stop the long-term pain, but they must pay first. There's conditions. You have conditions for your healing. He will expose that. You have a condition. That's going to be in the way. I want eternal life and want Jesus in my heart, but I'm not willing to have him live in my life. I'm not willing to have him be a part of it. I just want it to all go away. Just want the cleanup crew to come through and pick it all up. In Matthew 19, and someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." This is the rich young ruler. And he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said, "All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he had one who owned much property. So is this about property? Is this about that? No, it's about his issue. It was about his thing. It's not about, well, you can't enter heaven because you're too rich. That's not the issue here. It was because he was unwilling. And Jesus knew that. And that's what he's going to do. Because if you better be prepared, say, "Lord, I want this. What about this? This is what's causing it. This is why." But let's say you do go to it and you're willing to have that exposed. All right, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to have this taken care of. I'm ready to take it to the cross. And this is the fourth step for you. And in your mind, you'll kind of be placing it. What I mean by taking it to the cross is placing it in his hands alone. That's where, at the cross, everything was paid for. Everything. All pain and sorrow. It says at one point, every tear shall be wiped away. every tear. There'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more hurt. And that's what he did at the cross. But we have to receive that if we want that. So in the physical, Lord, I give you my trust for this ailment. I know that if you heal, then it is for your glory. If you don't, it is for your glory. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. That's saying it's yours. It is yours. And that, this is hard. This is really hard. I understand that it is hard. In the spiritual, he says, Lord, I give you my doubts and my feelings, my faults and my insecurities. Take them and mold me into the disciple you want me to be. I trust in you. In the emotional, feel the emotion of the hurt or anger. And if you're willing, place it on the cross and leave it there. And you may say, well, that seems too easy. If you're really willing, it is that easy. Eternally, place your trust in him who paid the penalty, in him who owns the keys of death and life. Place your trust in Jesus, knowing that you will be free. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that you may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Last thing is praise him. Is praise him. Thank him for healing you. Thank him for healing you. Sometimes we have questions about reasons that it doesn't happen, particularly in the physical area. Why did this not happen? And there may be other reasons, but these are the two that I kind of seem to be the most common. There is a greater purpose for it. There is a greater purpose. People say, well, God will be glorified in my healing. He is also glorified in suffering. In 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9, this is really hard, but it is true. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this. This is Paul, the one writing the letter, that it should leave me. We don't know what it was, but it was very terrible. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sometimes there is a greater purpose for suffering and for trials, and he allows that. And in John 9:9, we saw that the blind man, he was blind from birth, and his disciples asked, what sin did this man do, or was it his parents that sinned? That's why he's blind, and that's to, you know, punish them. And he said, it was not this man's sin or his parents, but the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me until this day. Night is coming when no man has worked. So he's saying that blindness was so that it could be glorified here, so that the healing could occur in front of all of them, thus proving his message. It was for his glory, both the suffering and the healing. And finally, the last thing, there was the verses. The last thing is sometimes it's our will. And you think, well, I wouldn't have gone to him unless I wanted it. Well, deep down, we're not willing to give up the actual cause. We're not willing to give it up. And we want it our way, and we kind of already discussed it. He will not violate our will for ourselves. He will not. And I've seen this over and over again. If we really want to keep that thing, you can have it. He will keep, and we see that in, for example, verses like Romans 1. He can cut through all that and show it to you. And I'm just going to finish with these last two verses. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. There it is, soul, spirit, joints, marrow, the physical, and discerning the thoughts, emotional, and intentions of the heart. All of that works together and is very convoluted and dangerous. But he says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He's willing to go the distance with us. And that's what I would do, is go to Jesus, know what you want, be ready to be exposed, take to the cross, and praise him afterwards. I know this was a lot, but what I'd like to close with is he can take care of this stuff. You know what it is, and I was hoping to go through this with you here, but we're kind of out of time. But if you want to ask me more about this, we can. But because he says, come to me, all you are weary, laden, and I will give you rest. You can rest with him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You're our healer. You have gone to bat for us in the area of eternally. You heal us spiritually and emotionally and physically. And I ask that each one of us would come to you with that issue. Some of us even had the issue in our head. We know what it is. Maybe it's many things. Lord, I pray that each one of us come to you, even today with this, knowing that you are faithful to heal. We wait for your answer, Lord. In your name we pray.